The regular season is upon us. It's Packer Week here at the PNC Studio at Halas Hall. Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority. Alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Saveman, and we are pleased to be joined by Bears defensive lineman Will Sutton. Packer Week. What more needs to be said to start the season, right?
That's it. That's all you need to say, especially opening day, you know, at home against the Packers. We know that the stadium is going to be loud. We know the fans are going to want to get on the field themselves. But, you know, we can't let our emotions get too high. You know, we got to be able to prepare this week with the open mindset of, you know, we got the Packers. It's another game, but it's not another game. You know what I mean? It's a division game. It's something that we have to win if we want to accomplish our goal.
Well, I need to back up a little bit because at the conclusion of training camp, Jeff and I were talking about the two most valuable players, and I thought it was Martellus on offense and you on defense. But when the whole coaching transition was starting to take place in the offseason and you knew what type of defense they were going to run, were you thinking, boy, they're glad to have me, or I got to start learning a little bit more about football?
When they announced the new defense that we were going to run, it was more of a – got to get in there and start over again, you know, new coaching staff. You know, they don't know who we are and we don't know who they are. So, you know, the main thing was just to get in there and off-season work as hard as I can. And then when I get there, OTAs and rookie camp is to just go out there and do what I'm coached to do and just make as many plays as I can.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that Will was drafted to be that prototypical three technique in the old defense,
right?
a 4-3 defense. But yet, in talking to you last week on the pregame show, one of the things that you mentioned is you're not a newcomer to this defense, maybe at the professional level. Mm-hmm. But since high school, you've been playing different defenses.
Yes.
And you did play in a 3-4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did. And at ASU as well, you know, we were multiple defense. I was 3-tech, in sometimes, nose. But now that, you know, and being in the NFL, it's a little different mindset to playing nose. But once I got it out of my system at OTAs, I just couldn't wait for season to start.
You know what's weird is, do you feel that when you play outside against an offensive tackle, sometimes you have the advantage, not only in leverage but in strength? Because I think, you know, the inside guys have more strength than the outside guys. So do you sometimes you line up, go, boy, I have an advantage on this guy?
Yes and no at the same time, because, you know, it's when it comes to that end spot, you know, being a 3-tech, you know, you don't really get to work with a lot of space. And being at that end spot, you know, you got to stay true to your pass rush lanes, because if you go inside where you're not supposed to,
right. If
you do that to a guy like Aaron Rodgers, he's going to pick you apart.
Right.
You mentioned that once the offseason kind of got underway, you knew that you could fit into this defense and you couldn't wait to go. What was it about what you were learning during the offseason, what you were seeing, that made you think, hey, I can do this here?
The Niners had good defense, you know, for the past years, and had great players as well. You know, just watching their defense and seeing how they operate, you know, they got a lot of physical guys on the line, and they do a lot of, you know, not really standing still. It's kind of like a attacking 3-4, you know, to where they're moving and things of that nature. And I looked and I was like, you know, we can do some damage in this defense.
You know, the last day of training camp, it was probably the chippiest practice I've seen here in a long time. And how is that going to carry over to the field on Sunday? Because I think it's good. It's nice that you guys are competitive against mm-hmm. each other, offense and defense. But I see that kind of building you guys stronger in the long run.
At the time, it's like, it's not smart. You know what I mean? The chippiness. But, but you know, we're out there, you know, a bunch of guys out there just trying to go out there and make a living and want to be the best that they can be. And it gets chippy out there. But for us as a group, that just makes us, I think that just brings us together, because, you know, we're a family. You know, you got brothers, you're going to fight with your brothers. But then in the long run, you're going to forgive them and love them and then do whatever you can for your family.
You know what's amazing is when you go to training camp and every day you got 90 guys coming out to practice, then you go to Wednesday practice of the regular season, it seems like no one's on the field,
because
there's only the roster. And you know, it's a bit of a change when you have a young guy's living through it, or a guy like yourself who is still a young guy but you have some experience, just to, you know, come together as at 53.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when the transition from that, you know, we got to go out there and, you know, cheer ourselves on. You know, we got the guys who are out there, you know, watching while the 22 are on the field. The other guys got to be out there a little talkative. You know, we have the music playing and everything, but you know, we got to take it upon ourselves to build the energy because can't, you know, the fans are out there screaming, yelling. And in season now, it's just us out there.
Last thing about training camp is that I'll bring up is you're quite a dancer because they have music playing at practice all the time and you dance a lot.
Yeah.
You know what? It's weird. It's a challenging thing that makes you guys listen to the coaching points that are being said to you, mm-hmm. coordinator, position coach, and everything. But it sort of gives you that instant to relax when you're last in line of a beginning of a drill mm-hmm. or something like that.
Yeah. You know, Fox, what you just said, Fox said, you know, it's, you know, when you go out there and have the crowd noise and everything, it's easy to focus in on what you have to do. But when you have music playing out there, songs that we like, you know, songs you can move to, it's harder to focus. And me, you know, dancing is just what, you know, gives me that. It gives me energy to dance.
Any country lyrics that you learned over the course?
That's still growing on me right now. But I had to learn to like a few of the country songs.
Will, we just had history made on the Bears All Access show. That's the first time Tom has ever commented about someone being able to dance on the practice. Nothing escapes you when you're watching.
No,
practice.
I think the energy is good because mm-hmm. it's not like you're sitting last in line just taking heavy breaths and looking around. You're kind of motivated and getting ready for your next rep.
You know what I noticed that? And it does make a difference in terms of the enthusiasm that comes out onto the practice field because when you guys were practicing against Indianapolis mm-hmm. down there at the Colts practice facility, Andrew Luck doesn't like practicing with music, so it's a little different.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's just a different way of doing things. You could actually hear his calls and all that kind of stuff. But what I find most interesting in terms of invigorating a team and motivating you guys this week in particular. Now, it's not high school, and I know people can say stuff and whatnot, but I can't remember. Tom, maybe you can you remember the last time a head coach said what Mike McCarthy said? Basically, and I know he wasn't saying it to the media, but he was basically telling the Chamber of Commerce up there in Green Bay that they're going to beat you guys. I mean, as a play, I mean that's gotta make you a little upset.
It's a little, you know, but we look at it as some more motivation, you know, some extra fire to the fuel. You know, we just try to tune things in that nature out. You know, I'm not trying to say anything and get caught on here and say something crazy. But, you know, we just...
It hasn't been ignored, is what
you're saying. It hasn't been ignored. And, you know, we're just... It just, you know, it just gives us something that more to go out there and really want to go out there and dominate.
Well, in order to do that, you're taking on Eddie Lacy. You're mm-hmm. taking on Aaron Rodgers. We're going to discuss what it's going to take to slow those guys down next. We've got Will Sutton, part of the new Bears 3-4 defense. Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Zaidman. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show starring Anthony Adams and Lauren Screedon, brought to you by Jimmy John's and airing every Sunday night at 11:05 on Fox Chicago. Go to chicagobears.com/insidethebears. Before we get to what the Bears have to do to stop Aaron Rodgers and Eddie Lacy, Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, joined by Bears defensive lineman Will Sutton here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. So we made a big deal about the music in the first segment that the Bears practice to, that you guys warm up to before games at Soldier Field. How does that work? Who submits the music?
Tell you the truth, we're trying to get our music changed right now, but I've been kind of, that's kind of my job.
You're
right now.
Spearheading it, yeah.
I'm kind of a couple of the guys saying, you know, we got to get a playlist together, and I'm kind of thinking, you know, if this got to get done, I think I'm going to be the one that's going to have to do it.
So if someone took your phone and they started flipping through your playlist,
uh-huh.
what's the top five for Will Sutton?
What would be your walkout song?
My walkout song? Man, I couldn't tell you the truth. I couldn't even choose. There's so much good music out right now. I couldn't even. I would have to really sit down and take a few hours to decide.
If you had to sit down and dissect a teammate like Pernell McPhee to have a walkout song, is there something that would come to your head, or is it something like you'd have to sit down for a little while with the playlist and figure them out?
Yeah, it's something. It's something you got to sit down because, you know, you could. I mean, a guy's playlist, like my playlist, is probably, for games alone, is probably about 400 songs by itself.
Really?
So I'm not going to listen to all 400,
right.
But, you know, I like to put my phone on shuffle and just let it run through, and whatever comes on, comes on.
See, it's interesting because there's that commercial with Serena Williams, and she's running, and she's training, and she's listening. What would be, if there was one song, now you say shuffle,
okay.
but obviously there's got to be one song when push comes to shove, and you need that motivation. What do you listen to?
Oh,
Is it Drake?
No, I couldn't. You know, Drake has great music. He has some good music, but I couldn't say Drake for. I would have to say it would have to be a Future song. I would have to say March Madness by Future.
There you go.
Yep.
See, I knew we'd get an answer out of it.
You know, it's like the Cincinnati game, you get a tackle for a loss, or the Green Bay game now, you get a tackle for a loss, and all of a sudden that song blows up and, you know, kind of.
Oh, man,
I think it juiced the stadium up a little
fired up.
Before that Cincinnati game, I was talking to you, and you said it's all about using your hands, your feet, and using your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't, as a D lineman, you're going to get hurt out
there.
Mm-hmm. So give us an idea, because you've got a former offensive lineman here that can kind of understand. Take us through, you get in your stance, what are you doing?
First thing, offense out the huddle, I'm looking at formations. That's the number one thing. Get the call, then look at the formation, because that's the big thing. You know the formation, you know it's coming. Formation, and then after that, it's okay, the call, linebackers give us our call, if it's strong left, strong right, you know. And then the next thing is my visual key, whoever I'm lined up on. So in this instance, if I'm playing nose, it'd be the center. And then wherever he goes, I go. Pretty much wherever he goes, I go, but I got to dominate.
You know, it's amazing, though. You think of a football play, you break the huddle, and the play starts. But, you know, from the time the play ends, you know, the down and distance, there's information filtering your head constantly. Uh-huh. And it's an amazing process that you go through, because it carries over. I mean, one play is its own play. The next play is its own. And it's a neat thing for us to watch the defense make in a transition stage, because we've been Bears fans our whole life and we're used to seeing something. And I think there's a lot of exciting opportunities that are going to be able to set up, whether it's from the interior of the defensive line or the exterior rushers. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what Bears fans are excited to see, is the complexity of the front of this defense.
Oh, yeah, that's what, our secondary has. I feel like our secondary has picked up, you know, has been playing real well since OTAs and that. And while they're playing good, that makes the front seven job a lot easier, you know.
Well, front seven job makes the Bears back end doable.
That as well.
It
all goes hand in hand, you know, coverage and rush and coverage, you know. It's, you know, when one's working and if they're both working at the same time, then we're going to be a great defense.
Now, the key is you earn the right to rush the passer. Mm-hmm. So to do that in this particular game, you've got to slow down Eddie Lacy.
Yes.
And you guys unfortunately saw a lot of Eddie Lacy last season. Mm-hmm. What'd you learn in those games?
You know, he's a big, strong, powerful runner who can dance. You know, you see Eddie Lacy, you would think of just a downhill runner, a guy who just run you over. But he can move. He moves real well. You know, he can jump. He can get in the gap and then all of a sudden cut it back. And, you know, our thing is to just do whatever we can to dominate the line of scrimmage and keep him, you know, every time he gets the ball, we have to hit him. You know what I mean? We have to punish him. We have to make him not want to run the ball, and we have to make them one-dimensional.
It's something, though, you go through that transition where you get 12, 18 plays in the course of a preseason game. Now you got to be ready for four quarters.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's always an interesting thing to watch, because sometimes it's a telltale sign of teams. And if you can go out there and be punishing against the offensive front, that is going to give you the advantage in the latter part of the game. So, you know, 74 degrees, you guys went through a hot training camp. It'll be nice to see what type of reps you get in that third and fourth quarter, but it's also a mentality to get in those third and fourth quarter reps.
It is, because, you know, you start the game, you start off with all the energy in the world, and then, you know, the main thing, after those first few snaps, your adrenaline kind of was a little high, then after those snaps, you kind of calm down, then you catch your wind, and you know what you need to do. But then it's that when you come in for halftime, those third and fourth quarter, you know, it's a different mindset. You got to be able to finish out the game, because it's easy to start a game, but it's the thing is to just keep it going and, you know, not leveling out and seeing how strong you can get as the game finishes.
Did you lose weight in the off season, or are you the same as last year?
I'm a little lighter.
Yeah,
a little lighter.
Does it amaze you how much they pay attention to details in terms of hydration during the course of the week so you can maximize your potential on Sunday? And even as something as halftime, making sure that you know, fill yourself up to be ready for the third and fourth
because,
quarter.
You know, going in halftime, you know, coming in halftime, you sit for, 15 minutes? You know, 15 minutes, you can get cold real fast.
Right.
And that means you got to stay warm, hydrate, get the proper nutrients in you, get on the bike, stretch. You know, you got to be able to stay, you know, stay warm out there. You go out there and not do anything, start the second half and go out there and get hurt. And that's not good.
We want 16 games out of you. We got nothing else is negotiable. We need 16 games out of you starting Sunday.
I'm just fascinated that you probably learned more about your body in the last 4 years than most people because you've had to, I mean, think about back to his college career. You've had to fluctuate your weight up and down, not by your choice,
But the experts that he's surrounded by now, you know, I say some of these college kids have never eaten better in their lives because they're coming here and they're having three quality meals a day and God, what an asset that is for not only you as a young player, but when you're 11, 12 years into your career. It's going to be because of this opportunity.
It's big. They don't have junk food anymore. No fried food after
games. It's just different. And I'm 54 years old. In my era, we were supplied nothing. So, you know, again, what a weakness that can create when you're supplied nothing as opposed to being supplied a perfect diet.
There is attacking quarterbacks in the NFL, and then there's trying to attack Aaron Rodgers. Why is it so hard to bring this guy down? We'll discuss next with Will Sutton, our guest on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Tune into the Bears Coaches Show, brought to you by McDonald's, with Jeff Joniak and the Bears coaching staff, Monday nights at 6:30 on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Zach Zaidman, 85 Bear Tom Thayer, and Bears defensive lineman Will Sutton out of Arizona State here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. I bring up the Arizona State thing because the chairman of the board here with the Bears, George McCaskey, went to ASU. Has that come up in conversation? What's that? Because it seems to me, other than the fact that you're a Bear and that you guys both went to Arizona State, that you'd have very little in common.
Well, you know, with Mr. McCaskey, the main thing he says, you know, every time I walk by him, go Devils. I'm like, go Devils right back to him. It's still there, you know, just being a Sun Devil.
You know, I remember the first time we heard about you is they were going to study Kyle Long and they saw Will Sutton. Do you remember ever playing against Kyle Long in college? And what do you see out of him, you know, at this stage? But I'm more curious if you even remember him from college. I think that didn't they say Kyle sprained his ankle or something?
Well, I saw Kyle in that year, my junior year was his last year. I knew who he was, you know, just from the Long family. I was like, okay, Kyle Long, he's playing for Oregon. And, you know, they're coming in. It's Mariota's, like, first actual, like, road test, and we're blackout game. And second play of the game, tackle for loss, forced fumble, and I hyper-extend my knee.
Really?
That's what happened. And then so they managed to see. I think they went
Phil
to scout
went to
you.
That game, yeah.
They went to scout you, and then they saw Kyle Long.
Who'd you like? Did you beat Kyle for the?
Well, he was playing tackle, and we call him Duck, our center. He'll tell you about the play. He'll tell you what happened.
Heronis?
Heronis.
Yeah,
he'll
tell you about the play.
Now I get it.
Can you clean it up for us? Because obviously you heard him. What is he trying to say there?
Well, I got to imagine that somehow Will Sutton beat Heronis Grasu quickly at the line of scrimmage, got into the backfield, and disrupted the entire flow of the play. And that's the interesting thing. I mean, that's what your job is to somehow get into the backfield and make that running back one-dimensional or no-dimensional, as it seems what you did.
Yeah, heck yeah.
So that's one aspect of what you have to do. The other thing is when you have – and I remember this after last year's game. Remember the game at Soldier Field where it was toe-to-toe Bears and Packers, and then obviously in the second half things changed. But in that first half, I remember talking to Willie Young after the game, and he said, man, you don't realize how hard it is to bring a guy like Aaron Rodgers down because everything's faster when he's playing quarterback. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
what does that mean?
Because his decision-making, his vision, he can. I don't know how to explain it. I feel like he sees everything out there, you know. You know, he's looking downfield, but he also has that presence for the pocket. You know, he's elusive, he's crafty, you know. You may think you got him, and then he may step an inch to the left, and you miss the sack. You know, he's just a real crafty guy with, you know, he has some speed on him. He can get out the pocket, and he's showing that he can run and things of that nature. He's just crafty. There's nothing else to explain it.
You know, I'm an offensive lineman. I break the huddle. I know the protection. I see four defensive linemen in stances. I know the offensive line is responsible for those four guys and the linebacker to the direction of the protection. Now Aaron Rodgers is going to break the huddle with his offensive line. They're going to look at you guys. Mm-hmm. it's going to create thinking. It's going to create making sure that everybody's thinking at the same instant on the same page. And that's all you can hope for is having one of those 10 blockers outside of Aaron Rodgers or 10 participants make that half second, eighth of a second mistake. Mm-hmm. Creates the penetration tackle for loss and the other opportunities it'll give this defense.
Yeah, and that's why we have to, you know, we have to pass rush as a group. Our main thing is to just, you know, we have to collapse this pocket. You give him, you know, we look at his four guys. You have four guys rushing six gaps. You know what I mean? They have an advantage somewhere. He has a lane somewhere. So it's our – so what we're being coached to do is just after we make our move, don't get washed. You know, we have to collapse his pocket so he has less room to get it. Less room in that pocket to maneuver.
Right. Every time an offense breaks a huddle, they think their advantage is the snap count.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you really need the contribution of the crowd noise here. And they got to be loud and they got to be aggressive because, you know, you guys have been practicing with music.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to, the noise is going to be noise anyways, but it can really slow down and make an offense semi-dysfunctional if they can be contributing crowd.
Oh, yeah. It can make the defense dysfunctional as well, too. But with us, though, like you said, we've been with the music. So our linebackers have been really, our linebackers and safeties back there have been really, you know, emphasizing on speaking up. Really, no matter how tired they are, you know, they have to be able to project their voice because we know. Come Sunday is going to be rocking.
Yeah.
Spend game day with the Chicago Bears Network, starting with Bears Game Day Live, brought to you by Advocate Healthcare at 10:30 Sunday morning on Fox 32 Chicago. And after the game, Bears Game Night Live, brought to you by CDW at 10:35 p.m. after the final word on Fox 32 Chicago. How much time as a defense have you guys spent watching tape of what the 49ers did against the Packers when Vic Fangio was the defensive coordinator? And for those that don't know, when Fangio was the D coordinator in San Francisco, they went 4-0 against the Packers, including two playoff wins.
We've been watching Niner film since OTAs, you know, because it just he's been there for a while and it's worked. You know, like I said earlier, he's had players, and I feel like we got players here too as well that can go out there and perform and execute the plays. But it gives us. Coach Vic, you know, being undefeated against them, it gives us that much of a boost because we know we're not just going to sit in meetings and be like, oh, we're playing the Packers. We don't know if it's going to work. But then he's undefeated against them. So what he's saying, guys are really, you know.
You've bought in because
bought
you've,
in, yeah.
seen the, mm-hmm. you've seen the success. Because I heard Jared Allen talk about this, how when you listen to Vic Fangio, this is a guy who teaches players like he's a professor.
Mm-hmm.
What he says makes sense. You're easily able to understand what he's saying.
Yes, exactly. And that's the number one thing about him. Every time he explains and we're in install, he makes it. It's easy to get it right from the paper. We haven't even gone on the field yet, and I know it. Every time we did install, before we even got on the field, I knew what we installed and was ready to go.
You know, when you're watching the San Francisco tape, I think Justin Smith is a heck of a player.
Mm-hmm.
One of the amazes me how well he played in San Francisco. Do you find yourself watching him and watching his technique, or are you watching? You hear the huddle call or the scheme, and you watch that, or can you focus on a quality player?
Well, with Justin, he was just so strong. So some of the things he did was kind of like. We don't want to do this, but he's just so strong. It's like it's to where it's like, you know, he has the ability to do that because he can make up for it with his strength. But, you know, watching as well as watching Ray is a good player. You know, all the things that happened to him. But besides that, he's a football player.
Well, you're watching pieces inside mm-hmm. of a puzzle mm-hmm. on how they all work together.
Yeah, and watching them, and we go out there and watch. When we compare that film and put on our practice film or even our past preseason games, we see that, you know, there's a similarity in those areas.
But when you watch a guy like you really think Justin Smith is stronger than you? Do you think that you really look at a player like that and go, wow, that guy looks strong?
Heck yeah.
Stronger than you?
Heck yeah.
Really?
Heck yeah.
Well, you're a young guy. You know, he was at, you know, later stages.
Yeah, there's some things I seen him do on film where I was like, oh, man, I feel like.
But you're not there
yeah,
yet.
Yeah, like, right. Man.
Okay, that's fair. But
I appreciate the honesty time, because, you know, you look at guys differently than you look at yourself.
Uh-huh.
And you look at yourself, you know.
And then I just look at it as, you know, if he's able to do that, then there is, I may not be able to do exactly like that, but I can work on it and I can do it. I can figure out if I can do it exactly like that. Like if he push pulls a guy and just flat out takes him out and pushes the quarterback in the back, the guard in the backfield, you know, there's some old linemen who, like we watched today, we watched them play Green Bay. We saw Justin put Sitton right back in Aaron Rodgers' lap, and he's a big dude. He's not your
– Yeah, but you're going to win. It's leverage, just
yeah,
like you.
It is leverage. You know, it's but that means that's why when game day comes, you have to be able to – when game day comes, I have to be able to do it first. You know, I can't just go out there and expect to just bull rush and get them pushed back. I have to be able to set them up. You know, I got to be able to do what good at. I have to be able to do what I'm good at, getting off the ball, you know, pressing that edge. And then I'll be able to get to that, okay, since he knows I've been getting off, getting up the field, then I can probably sit him down with the bull rush and throw him off his game.
Right.
Hardcore X's and O's here on Bears All Access with Will Sutton. When we come back, there aren't a lot of guys on the active roster in that defensive line room, but we're going to find out all about them from Will Sutton.
Get a little smaller bit of meeting room.
Yeah, it is. I want to find out about the personalities of the new, because there's a lot of new guys in that room, but you don't have a lot of guys.
Yeah.
So we'll explain next. Will Sutton is here. So's Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zabin. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. This week's Packers-Bears game is brought to you by Bears Hall of Fame partner Miller Lite. The first 40,000 fans 21 years of age and older to enter Soldier Field will receive a pair of Bears Miller Lite sunglasses. Miller Lite, the original Pilsner and official beer partner of your Chicago Bears. Tom Thayer's here. I'm Zach Zabin. We're joined by Bears defensive lineman Will Sutton here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, coming to you from the PNC studio at Hallis Hall. All right, so how many defensive lineman do you have in the room right now?
I think there's nine.
Well, I think you'd have a lot more, and not all of them are on the active roster.
Yeah, five.
Yeah, see? Think about that. And Jeremiah Ratliff is not included right now because he's serving the three-game suspension. So who's the veteran of that group without Ratliff?
Jarvis.
Jarvis Jenkins, who came over from the Washington Redskins. He's been playing primarily defensive end.
Mm-hmm.
What's he like?
You know, guy who's gonna go out there and work. You know, he's not gonna tell you to do something, and he's not gonna go do it. You know, he's gonna go out there and set the bar high for everybody, because you know he's a new guy. We all kind of know each other, and so you know he came in here, and his main thing was just to get in here and work. And we see that he's working, so it looked like he was never even a new guy. He just fit in real quick.
Does the youngster look better in 91 than he did in, what was he wearing, 76?
76. You're talking about Eddie
Goldman.
Eddie Goldman, yeah.
He looks slimmer, too.
It is. It's a longer note.
Yeah, uh-huh.
You know, I'm really impressed what I see out of the young kid.
Oh, yeah, me too.
And I think, you know what's funny is, does he seem young to you, even though you've been around for a short period of time? Because he seems like a young guy that could really benefit from a lot of your all your guys' experiences so
far.
Yeah,
you know how we look at is, we don't look at really – like young guys age and everything, we look at as young and old guy compared to experience playing on the field. Because me and Ego, we don't consider ourselves young players because we were thrown into the fire last year and had a lot of experience. And so, you know, I feel like me and Ego, besides Jarvis, are the veterans in the group as well to some of the other guys as well in the room.
What is Ego's lighter now?
Yeah.
You wouldn't know it, but he lost mm-hmm. weight.
He looks longer. He looks, you know.
Yeah.
It's where do you see the growth in his game? Where do you think he's going to be able to take that next step as a player?
You know, with Ego getting lighter, I think it helped him out big time. It made his motor that much higher. You know, he's always had the physical. You know, he's strong. He's tall. He's big. And making him lighter, I think it just gave him that much more motivation to going out there and making plays. You know, he put in a lot of work. He was calling me saying he put in 2-a-days, 3-a-days, and I'm like, man, I see you. But with Ego, I feel like, you know, he's gonna bring a lot of energy as well to the room. You know, he's gonna be one of the guys out there that you can rely on. You know, he's not gonna go out there and make any mistakes. So you know that Ego's gonna do his job.
You know, it's interesting. 15 years ago when they played a 3-4 defense, there was a specific template of the defensive lineman. That thing is completely out the window.
Mm-hmm.
If you're 6'4", 335 pounds, you can play defensive end,
mm-hmm.
where you used to just be strictly on the nose. And I think that's what I like about a guy like Ego moving around, yourself moving around. You're not a one-position player. Mm-hmm. You're almost a five-position player, considering you can go from zero to zero technique straight over mm-hmm. the center all the way to the outside of the offensive tackle. Mm-hmm. But I think it makes it more difficult for offensive linemen because they're not playing against a standard size player, and you guys can change. Mm-hmm. You know, you can change the look of the defensive
yeah,
line.
Yeah, and like everybody, to achieve everybody on their D line doesn't have a set position. Everybody can play everywhere on the line,
so, and that's good.
And that's the good thing about our defense, that everybody on our D line could play everywhere. And we know since OTAs we've been going through, you know, if you're playing in this week, you still got to learn the nose, because next week you might be playing nose, and then you still have to remember the new install for the end, because then the following next week after that you might go back to end.
But psychologically you have to prove that to yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, because I remember a practice early in training camp that Ego had a really good pass rush against Jermon Bushrod. And that's what kind of opened my eyes, going, wow, Ego got his hands inside, you know, a great anticipation of the snap count, and got rid of him and made a play. And that's what proved to me is, look, if these guys want to go out there and give the effort that expected of them, mm-hmm. that they can play in this defense.
Yeah.
When you were thrown into the fire last year, along with Ego, were you ready for it?
Oh, yeah. We're always ready to play. You know, what it was the main thing adjusting was the speed of the game. We were ready. You know, we're always going to say we're ready no matter what.
Well, the reason I bring it up is because Eddie Goldman has to be ready.
Oh, yeah.
Do you sense that he's ready to take that next step now with regular season speed? Because it's a completely different game than what he's been used to this point.
He'll be ready, though. Yeah, he'll be ready.
What stands out about him?
Everything. He's a huge human being.
You know, and you got to live ready, because mm-hmm. I think that's part of the process when Ryan Pace, the GM, or your position coach are looking. They're looking at you. They're mm-hmm. going, look, I want a guy that's ready now, ready for 16 games, and is dedicated to the game.
Well, you know, I mean, he grew up, I don't want to say idolizing, but his favorite player was Jeremiah Ratliff mm-hmm. when he was a kid in high school, just trying to learn the game. He was a Redskins fan. He was watching those Cowboy battles. Mm-hmm. Do you see a lot of what makes Ratliff? Do you see that in Goldman?
Yeah, he can. Yeah, he can. He can do exactly. Yeah. With Eddie, it's. I don't want to say shocking, but it's eye opening to see how quick that he's adjusted to the situation. Because all through camp, coach, you know, we had him going to be. We have a good old line, I think. So. In my opinion, the O-line we go up against is one of the best in the league. So I feel like going up against our O-line helped him ready himself that much faster.
Develop
to get
him,
ready. Yeah, get ready for season to start.
I think he's got really good snap count discipline for mm-hmm. a young guy, because the snap count can be so hectic. Do you even remember a young Jeremiah Ratliff? Because to me, it might be easier for me to remember him early in his career than a guy like yourself who was going through high school and college at the time.
I remember him.
Yeah. Because, you know, I think the reason you ask about Eddie Goldman and Jeremiah Ratliff, because there's a similarity in length. Mm-hmm. Jeremiah is not the biggest guy, but he uses his length and his second move.
And he has the strength.
Really mm-hmm. well, and recognizes double teams immediately. So, it you know, you're just curious if you remember and go back in history and watch.
No, I remember.
We've got to take a time out here. When we come back, I want you to take me through what it's like, because most of the people listening to this have never been inside the trenches having to take on a double team. Mm-hmm. You have, Eddie has, Tom's been on the other end of it. We're going to discuss this next. I want you to take us inside a place that we can't go next. Will Sutton is here. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears All Access rolls on for the PNC studio at Hallis Hall. Our guest today is Will Sutton, the Bears defensive lineman, Zach Sabin, and 85 Bear Tom Thayer with you. And it's time now to decide on, usually we call it the Sports Authority Player of the Week, and we give it to the player of the game from the last game. I mean, you could go in any direction if you choose that game. David Fales, I thought, had a big-time performance with everything on the line for him and did a nice job on the offensive side. How about your guy? Terry Williams, the Swamp Monster, playing big on the interior.
You talk about leverage, and I'm really glad they brought him back as a member mm-hmm. of the practice squad, because he's had a great attitude all the way throughout training camp. And then when you do finally give him an opportunity to play in that preseason game, he showed up. Mm-hmm. And he, you know, I'm really proud of the kid, because you don't look – or you don't necessarily look the part, but he is the part.
Yeah. And yeah,
proud of him.
And we knew that from day one when we first saw Swamp.
they call him Swamp.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Day one, though, we saw some fight in him. You know, he's real mature when it comes to knowing the game, knowing the playbook, knowing the plays, knowing the blocking schemes, half charging into the guard, whether or not he can cross the block or not. And that's what I think helps him out tremendously, because he has the leverage. Yeah. He has, but what helps him is his knowledge of the game.
I wish they would have gave him number 72 to start training camp, because he would have looked a lot like the Fridge.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, a lot of the body style, and Fridge had good snap count anticipation, always won the game of leverage, and, you know, it would have been nice to have that reemergence 30 years later.
I'm telling you, I was joking around with Spice Adams, who's always around Hallis Hall, former Bear defensive tackle, and I was joking with him that it looks as though Terry Williams, Swamp, as you call him, looks like Anthony Adams does now, but you're just amazed that he's got this ability to get the job done, despite the fact that, as you said, Tom, he doesn't look the part physically.
You know, there's certain disciplines that defensive linemen have to know on an instant, and it can't be a thought process getting you there. It is about the anticipation of snap count, feeling where the double team is coming from, and all those things are going to decide your fate. Mm-hmm. If his hands are slow and my hands can get to him faster, it's just
he's a bulldog. I'm telling, and we spoke to him right after the game, and he needed oxygen, because it's so tough when you play that fourth preseason game. That's not just a body physique.
Right.
I mean, it's not easy when you're out there and you don't get any rest. You got to go on special teams. It's a nonstop. So those players that earn a job, whether it's practice squad or active roster, after that game, that's impressive.
Oh, yeah. Are you still on kickoff return?
Yeah, I am.
Attaboy. I did it every game of my career, from the very first game to my very last game. I play kickoff return every game.
I like it.
Get rid of you.
I like it.
Right.
I like it. It's just the guys look bigger the closer they get. They just get bigger and bigger.
Just don't make eye contact with them, and then they never know you're coming.
Uh-huh.
And for the record, I say let's give the Sports Authority Player of the Week to Terry Williams.
There you go.
Another thing that we could do is look ahead to this game against the Packers and say, who has to be the Player of the Week for the Bears to beat the Packers?
Are you asking that question?
I'm looking at you, Tom.
You know, for me, I think the biggest, the most important position or player on the field offensively has been Martellus Bennett, because he's so important to blocking on the line of scrimmage, and he's a good blocker. But he's also a huge target from 4 to 9 yards down the field, and can catch above guys, has really good hands, can catch when there's distraction in front of his face. And that's what you need. You need a weapon that people are concerned about, but has a lot of other things according to his job.
On defense, make it easy for you. On defense, who has to be the big player for the Bears?
Will Sutton.
Tell you the truth, I'm going to have to say our captains, Antrell and Fee, because, you know, Fee goes out there, he makes a play. Whatever he does, we feel it. He hits somebody, everybody else feels it. So we feel like he goes out there and dominates a performance. It's going to boost everybody up. So those are mine.
Pernell McPhee in the Indianapolis game, it kind of reminded me of the Rocky movie when he was fighting Hulk Hogan. He says, I thought it came to an exhibition and it turned into a fight. And that was the first thing. And I think Pernell McPhee can do a lot to not only be reason for concern for your opponent, but do a lot to be a lightning rod for everybody else who's playing on the field with them.
Yeah, and Antrell as well. You know, he's the quarterback of our defense back there with that secondary. You know, those two come play, have a great game, they're going to boost everybody's morale.
So you have announced captains.
Mm-hmm.
And on defense, it's Antrell and Pernell McPhee. Mm-hmm.
On offense, it's Jay Cutler and Matt Forte and Robbie Gold on special teams. And I think there's going to be one more every week,
coach,
right?
Yeah, the coaches choose who's going to be the extra guy.
Oh, nice. Very good. It's a nice reward, you know, to have a great week of practice or coming off a game that, you know, is a big reward.
Mm-hmm. Man, Pernell McPhee is going to bring something to the Bears that they haven't had. You guys needed last year. I think you missed what Pernell McPhee and Antrell Roll bring. Forget about the field, because obviously they're good players on the field, but in the locker room, in the meeting rooms, what those guys bring, you miss that.
Oh, yeah. Those guys have, you know, those guys just have a lot of knowledge for the game, and, you know, they both won Super Bowls, so, you know, that helps out big time.
So did this guy. Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Saban. Will Sutton, our guest. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Our final few moments here on Bears All Access with defensive lineman Will Sutton. I'm Zach Zabin, 85 Bear Tom Thayer is here. It is Packer Week, Bears, Packers, Soldier Field. Do you ever forget? I know you want to forget last year, and you should, but can you ever forget as a defensive player what happened in those two games?
Yes and no at the same time. Yes, you can forget if nobody brings it up. And then no is when they bring it up.
When you you start looking at the experience of a guy like Aaron Rodgers, you got to pay attention to the quarterback position, but do you actually just do more studying of the offensive line and their positioning, their techniques, and those types of things? Because
yes.
You can become enamored with the player on tape. Sometimes you have to lessen your eyes and pay attention to the O-line.
Yeah, you can in film, you can get in there and just look at – if you're watching film and get distracted by just by looking at 12, you'll forget your objective because us on the D-line have to go through the O-line before getting to him. So we have to really stop focusing on, you know, what's happening in the play and focus on who we're going to be going up against.
Do you like not hearing his count at home as opposed to playing against a quarterback on the road where you can hear his cadence?
For some reason, for me, home or away, hearing the cadence, we don't listen to anyways, you know. Our main thing is keying that ball, getting off on the ball. So – yeah, home or away for a D lineman, it doesn't really matter.
It's just weird for the fans of the game, those of us that, you know, you can listen to a quarterback's cadence at home and it's so perfectly heard.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you always think, wow, is that a distraction to a defensive lineman who's right over the top of the football? Or is it nice shutting everything out and just hear the contribution of the crowd and, you know, explode on movement?
I rather listen to the crowd than hearing the quarterback, you know, because at times it can get distracting, because if a quarterback is able to speak, then a quarterback can go through, get to the line of scrimmage, and then he could check.
Right.
You know, being in a hostile environment, there's not a lot of checking going on, so they have to run the play that's called unless they do hand signals. And if you start doing hand signals, then they're going to get picked up.
All right, so take me inside the trenches. Double team. That's if you're playing nose tackle – in this 3-4, mm-hmm. you've got to handle that double team. What's that like?
Well, in the 3-4, for the nose, handling a double team first, you don't know where it's coming from. That's the number one thing, because you're head up on the nose, so you don't know which way. Depending on formation, if it's you know, heavily strong on one side, then you know where the double team's coming. But when it's balanced up, you really don't know. But once you connect, you just feel – I'm trying to find a way to – you ever, like, jump in a pool and done a belly flop and just all your wind just gets – I feel like that's how – once you feel that second guy on a double team come, especially if it's a guard or a really heavy guard, like I'll use our O-line for example. When I'm at nose and it's me against Will, the other Will.
Montgomery.
Yeah, when I feel Slauson come down on me, it's it feels like a boulder just – taking the air out of everything. And
that's got to be an awesome feeling as a guard.
Well, you know, to me, I'm always, if I was an offensive lineman, the first thing I'm thinking is make sure my stance is balanced so mm-hmm. he doesn't read my stance. Because the defensive linemen, they repetitiously see so many stances that they can get the feel of an offensive lineman mm-hmm. by their unbalanced stance, whether they're going to retreat and pull or pass protection. So, you know, that was my first key is don't show it off and making sure your split's not too narrow where he knows you're coming. So that's like the information that these guys filter through their head, and it's 1,000 things in an instant.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's part of being able to have an understanding that there's a possibility that this is where it's going to come from.
Yeah.
Man, the processing of the game never ends. It's going to be a fun game on Sunday. I'm glad the regular season's about to be in. Good luck against the Green
Bay
Packers. Will Sutton, our guest for the entire hour, 485 Bear Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zabin. Thanks to our executive producer, Greg Miller, and the man who helped us blast through the speakers of the radio, Paul Zarang. So long. Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.